Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Like I said before,
who are you talking about when you say...
Dude, you're not listening to what I just said.
Slow down, pal. Who are you talking about?
I don't get caught up in that.
It is time for another edition of Who We Talking About without the yelling, because I can't.
And I'm not going to yell
either. I can't.
Yelling in sports talk radio anymore.
I can't.
Nobody wants to hear you yell.
My voice won't handle it. I'm saving for yelling at my kids' games.
Andy Reid, still doing that? You're still yelling at your kids' games? Come on, Josh.
Yeah, but I'm a positive yeller.
All right. But you're yelling at the ref?
I can, you know, call however many games and do the show all the time, and I'll go to, like, one game, and I'm like, man, that was a strain on the voice.
What are you yelling? Come on!
Yeah. Well, it's either rebound.
Oh, God.
Right now it's rebound, yeah. Rebound.
You're not yelling right hustle, rebound. Are you?
No, I got a tall kid that doesn't rebound. It frustrates me, that's all. Get in there and rebound. Throw your body around.
Why
a
does
bit.
He want to rebound?
I don't know. Wants to sit outside the three-point line.
Like,
wow, his old
I wonder
man
where
he
got
to.
That from, yeah.
Except I didn't have size.
Yeah.
I was like 5'5", a buck 20 until I was like a junior in high school, so... I didn't grow. He's like bigger than I was then. I'm like, come on, dude, go rebound.
Man, I'm not interested.
I'm the basketball coach of now rather than the basketball coach of then.
Correct.
Which is I'm a much better point guard.
Absolutely. Everybody's so, better at their 40s than they were at 16 and doing everything.
Yeah. So that's the current one. Rebound.
All right.
Yeah. The kid jacking up because threes
you,
and not rebounding.
Because you screaming rebound is really going to make him go in there.
Yeah, maybe sometimes. You know, how long's a basketball court?
94 feet.
Right. So take out the free throw lanes, free throw lines in. So that's like 30 feet. So it's 64 feet. That's how long my kid runs. If he gets down below the free throw line, it's a freaking miracle.
Oh, that is good.
You know, so that's why I yell a little bit. So that's, I say,
get those buckets.
That's right. Yeah. You think so? Did you see I made my bucket. Yeah, you're 1-for-11. I mean, what do you want? 913-576-7610. Let's play another edition of Who He Talking About. Andy Reid speaks in very general terms. We give you a soundbite. You just have to tell us who he's talking about. Very simple game, right?
Very, very
simple game. Don is up first. Don, who he talking about?
Very creative.
Very creative.
Andy Bill says. Belichick.
Bill Belichick is incorrect.
Incorrect. Right. It is incorrect.
It is so the reverse is also true. So if he's saying it about somebody else and it's not that person, that is not true.
That
so
is
Bill
not
Belichick,
true, right.
He considers not very creative.
Mm-hmm.
Rex is up next. Rex, who are you talking about?
Very creative.
Rex, gone.
Gone.
Mike's up next. Mike, who are you talking about?
Very creative.
Very creative.
Tyron Matthew
is incorrect. I'd love to give it to you because I do actually do believe that Tyron Matthew is very creative. All right, three down. That means a clue.
It does mean a clue. His middle name is Thomas.
It's not always a useful clue. It's just a clue.
Well, they start out kind of vague.
Winner today is going to get a free month of Martial Arts Institute at Overland Park. There you go. You can go kick some tail.
That's right.
Steve is up next. Steve, who are you talking about?
Very creative.
I'm going with Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes. Man. Yeah, you think. Nope.
Andy does not believe Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes is very creative.
Nope.
Johnny's up next. Johnny, who are you talking about?
Very creative.
Steve Spagnuolo.
Nope. It is not Steve Spagnuolo.
Nope.
All right, I'll give another clue.
Someone says on the text line, I always thought Ryan's Who He Talking About was recorded. You should record one for when he's gone. That would have been a great idea.
That would have been a great idea.
He does those live.
Yeah, no. He does those live. He is originally from the Cleveland area.
I don't know if that helps me either. Wesley's up next. Wesley, who are you talking about?
Very creative.
Yeah, I was going Eric Bieniemy, but I don't know after these clues.
So who are you going with?
Take
then?
A guess.
Eric Bieniemy.
Eric Bieniemy.
No, he's not.
Well, I was going to go with Bieniemy, but
I'm pretty sure he was looking for a clue to see if we were in the right category, but no. Tanner's up next. Tanner, who are we talking about?
Very creative.
Darwin Thompson?
No,
Darwin Thompson is not Darwin Thompson. Very creative.
All right, I'll give you another clue here. His middle name is Thomas. He's from the Cleveland area, and he has a Nick Saban connection as well.
Oh, geez. J-Rock's up next. J-Rock, who are we talking about?
Very creative.
Josh McDaniels?
You are correct! It was the Thomas that gave it away, right?
No, it was just very creative.
All right.
Oh, you're going to go with very creative.
Very creative.
He's going to have to be, Josh McDaniels. Going to get this offense going.
That's right. He was a graduate assistant for Michigan State in 1999, which, of course, was Lou Saban's last year coaching at Michigan State before he went on to wherever he went after.
Nick?
Nick Saban. Yeah, sure.
He didn't work for Lou.
Well, I mean, Lou's his real name. Hey, Lou. So he worked for Saban in 1999 as a Michigan graduate assistant. And then in 2001, not sure what happened in the year 2000, but in 2001, he was hired on as a personnel assistant for the New England Patriots because Lou probably said, hey, hire this guy. And so he did. And you know how that works. And so he was with the Patriots since 2001, then had a stint as the Denver Broncos head coach that didn't go so well.
Brady doesn't suck.
And then he played for the he was the offensive coordinator for the then St. Louis Rams. Now they're in Los Angeles, St. Louis. So he was there in 2011 and then back to the Pats in 2012. So he's basically been Bill Belichick's guy for all of these years. And you know, he's probably going to take over as head coach, I would imagine, for the New England Patriots. And there's been a lot of talk this week up in New England as we've been kind of in and out of WEEI.
He's not to blame for this failed offense?
No, he's not to blame for this failed offense. But what's interesting...
How's he avoiding that?
Well, because...
He's very creative. What is he doing?
Right. It's
not creative enough?
I think people understand. There's an offensive line that's banged up and Gronk's not there anymore. But
quarterback's old.
Yeah, the quarterback is old. But that leads me to my next comment. I saw on ESPN this morning they were listing... you know, 16 quarterbacks and where they're going to be in the future. And they were kind of joking around. They said Tom Brady next year could be playing for the San Francisco 49ers and pulling a reverse Joe Montana where you played the last 2 years for the 49ers, right? And the interesting thing, if he does go and they decide to cut Jimmy Garoppolo, he's only a $4 million cap hit next year in dead money. So there is that possibility that they just flat out cut Jimmy Garoppolo, get Tom Brady. Garoppolo goes back to New England, and him and Josh McDaniels start anew. Now,
Then you investigate conspiracies. Then you would completely investigate if there was a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. If they get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo for an old Tom Brady, then you know the fix is in.
Right.
That they agreed to this on the front end, and there needs to be an NFL investigation because that's insane.
Well, it is. But the other topic of conversation, which was very interesting, and we'll get to it a little bit later on with a different team, but I heard our guy Ben Maller talking this morning about what if Josh McDaniels spurned the Indianapolis Colts because he knew about this Luck thing and then Luck, you know, retired the way that he did. And then Andrew Luck comes back next year after a year off and goes to New England after Tom Brady decides to leave and go someplace else. And Josh McDaniels and him are together in New England. And that becomes the succession plan for Brady and Belichick.
Again, another investigation needed. All these happen, you're investigating. You're totally investigating.
Now, you would still have to trade the Indianapolis Colts something for Andrew Luck.
They still hold his rights.
They still hold his rights. And if I'm hit them, I'm holding the Patriots hostage You're not giving it up. But those are some of the conspiracy theories that are out there right now. This is going to be one of the most intriguing NFL off seasons, Josh, that I think we've ever seen. Because
re-signs with the Patriots.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then it doesn't become intriguing anymore. Gotcha. But there are so many just great scenarios out there because there are so many quarterbacks that are hitting that free agent market. And a lot of quarterbacks that could be dangled out there as trade bait, like Nick Foles or Ryan Tannehill, or, you know, maybe he does stay there. But then you got Marcus Mariota you're dangling as trade bait. There's going to be, I think, and I feel like now, and it all could change, obviously, but I feel like there could be a seismic shift in the quarterback situation in the NFL next year. Trubisky could be on his way out. Mariota could be on his way out. Brady, Garoppolo. And then you got that kind of Andrew Luck guy hanging out there dangling after he finishes shaving his neck beard for this offseason. he could be a guy that potentially gets back into this thing. And those rumors are hot and heavy right now.
Crazy.
It's going to be a wild 3 days of an offseason for the NFL.
until Brady resigns.
Right.
Win Smokehouse Barbecue coming up at 8:15 with Risk It for the Brisket. But first, he might just need this one. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Back in Friday edition. Fesco in the morning along with Bob Fesco. I'm Josh Klingler. Kramer in for the paternity-ing Ryan.
Paternity-ing.
I made up a word. I don't know. Entercom, the parent company of 610 Sports Radio, and the Chiefs announced that 106.5 The Wolf has been named the new flagship station for the Chiefs radio network beginning next season. In addition, beginning next season as part of the agreement, 610 Sports Radio will become the official broadcast partner of the Chiefs. That's beginning February 15th of 2020.
That's great news.
So there you go. We'll talk Chiefs.
Like we already do.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk Chiefs now, too. Cool.
Awesome.
I don't like the stat because I don't think it's completely fair, but it kind of the is what it is. But the longer this continues to go, the more the narrative will grow, right?
Sure, absolutely. That's the way it is in sports right now, and it's something that we just have to accept.
That Pat Mahomes has to start winning, quote-unquote, big games.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Punch above your weight is how I call it.
Right.
But win maybe games you're not supposed, quote-unquote, supposed to win.
Correct.
Those types of things.
Right.
Because the mark is, what, at 1-7 or whatever?
Right.
Now
that well,
they're kind
I
of
don't
like,
even know what it
like,
is
like,
anymore.
Like prime time, Monday night, non-noon.
Right. The games that we determine are big games to
correct.
Fit the narrative of what we want
yeah,
to say.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably fit this game in and this game in. But you look at it, like last year, New England didn't win.
Right.
Rams game.
Didn't win.
Didn't win. At Seattle.
Didn't win.
Didn't win.
Chargers Thursday night game at Arrowhead. Didn't win.
Didn't win.
Yeah.
Like those types of things are on his resume, ledger, whatever, fairly or unfairly. This is a big one to go and get. Now, unfortunately for him, if you go get this one, it probably skews to, wow, Brady is indeed old.
Right.
And those types of things. It'll probably not get the credit it deserves.
Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs will win, and Monday morning the National will
yes,
be the Patriots are done.
Yes,
and,
there'll be more questions about the Patriots if the Chiefs go and win at Foxborough than there will be credit to the Chiefs.
But, exactly.
But you can still get there won't be the asterisks as it progresses. But going and winning one of those games that, hey, it's like it's time to win,
mm-hmm.
show you've arrived, show you've made it. Type of things. This would be a big one for him.
Yeah, I think it's a statement game for his career right now. And I know we're only in like year two of his career, year two of starting in his career, but he needs that statement win. And this would be a statement win for the early part of his career because, as we talked about, the big knock of him is like 1-7 in these big games, whatever is determined a big game by whoever determines what a big game is. They believe that Patrick Mahomes can't win the big one. And so I believe if he goes out there and wins this game on whatever it is, Sunday afternoon, this will finally count as one of those, you know, big games that Patrick Mahomes really does need for all of the other people out there, you know, like all the national media, all the national football fans, people of that nature who say and want to use the narrative that Patrick Mahomes can't win the big one. Because if you go to New England in December and you beat Tom Brady, that is a big win. They don't lose to AFC teams in December in New England. Like, I think the record was like 42-0 or something
that
like
was,
that,
that
right?
That stat, and we're starting to confuse all of them because there's so many of them.
Right.
But that stat that I referenced was 42-0 against the AFC at home when Brady and Edelman were playing together.
Right. And so, what?
Which is stupid.
Which is dumb. They don't lose to the AFC in Foxborough.
Because the Chiefs beat them in Foxborough, Edelman didn't play.
Correct.
Right.
Right.
Right. So it's, they have so many absurd stats.
Right. So
involving good they are at home.
But they have
a true home field advantage.
They do. They're like 37-5 or something like that in December at Foxborough. I mean, the numbers are ridiculous. It's crazy how good they are at home. So I think this is a big win. I think this is a statement game. I think this is one more notch in his belt if you go to New England in December and beat Tom Brady and Julian Edelman as an AFC team. It just doesn't happen. So you go up there and you win that game, and that is a big win. And quite honestly, it'll be his biggest win of his career so far, Josh, if you go up to New England and do that, because you've had two opportunities now to beat the New England Patriots. Am I correct? You've had two. You had last year in the regular season up in New England, and then you had last year in the AFC Championship game here in Kansas City. And you weren't able to beat Tom Brady on either of those occasions. And I know people will say, well, it's more about the team than it is just beating Tom Brady. He would have beat the Patriots defense. That's not how people view it, though. You look at it with quarterback matchups and head-to-head. Can, you know, Patrick Mahomes beat Tom Brady? The answer to that question right now is no. But if he goes up to New England and wins and does something that most teams in the history of the NFL have not been able to do, is go to New England and win December, that is a big win. That is a statement win. If he doesn't win, then I think you're going to start to see people say, well, maybe he just can't win the big one. Maybe he can just put up impressive numbers, but when it matters most, he can't find a way to win. And I don't want that to be the stupid narrative around Patrick Mahomes, because I don't believe that's the narrative around Mahomes. And I don't think it is what Patrick Mahomes is all about. But you know the talking heads in the national media will start to push that out there, that Patrick Mahomes is a great October quarterback, but man, when it comes to crunch time, he can't get it done. Well, even if they do go up to New England and lose, which they're not, but if they do go to New England and lose, so does everybody else in the month of December. It's not the end of the world, but a win in New England in December for Patrick Mahomes is a statement game and a career-defining win at this point in his career.
It's, I hate that there's a long way to catch up to whatever that number is, too, right? I mean, seven. Yeah. So now he's like playing from a deficit. I think he's a big game quarterback. I think he'll be able to prove throughout his career he's a big game quarterback. They just haven't won some of those games that were thrilling.
Right.
Thrilling matchups, but you gotta come on the other side of one. And at times you have to beat teams above you, right? We're trying to chase what was the Pittsburgh New England.
Right.
Pittsburgh's fallen off a little bit. Maybe Baltimore will become that new team. You want to stay above that. You beat the Baltimores of the world, and you've had their number a little bit, mm-hmm. so you've kind of kept that. But you haven't beaten New England. You haven't slayed that dragon. Time to go slay that dragon.
Right. It is a dragon-slaying type of game, and it is big. It's a big perception game for everybody. I mean, we've talked about it all week, how much we need this game as a fan base to see the Chiefs go out there and win, and how great it's going to be for us as fans to see the Chiefs go out there and win this, you know, football game on Sunday. But I think it's even bigger for Patrick Mahomes' reputation nationally for them to go out there and win this game.
The Thursday night game had some drama. The Bears beat the Cowboys 31-24 in a game that wasn't that close. It got a little bit closer in the fourth quarter. I saw a third quarter Cowboy team that just quit.
They stopped playing.
That looked like Joe Flacco facing the Chiefs. Just done.
Mm-hmm.
Just quit. And could you not feel Jerry Jones staring at you on the broadcast last night like you'd done something wrong? I felt like I was like, ooh, I wouldn't want to look the boss in the eye
right
during this game.
I wouldn't want this guy as my boss either.
Yeah, that may be the case as well.
It's leveled out here. It's losing, losing, losing. So I'm not trying to be funny here, but the point is that we've got to win a football game. I don't care what the standings are, what the numbers are. We had fought that we could come up here and play a really fine football game team. I mean, a good team, play a fine football game, and get our act where we're starting to look like a team that could, if we buy a slim chance, get in the playoffs where we could win. We can't do that until we play and start winning the football games, and we've got three more to play.
So that's Jerry Jones after the game last night. They are...
Wasn't going to take any questions either.
Right, and 8 minutes later, he's still talking. they are losers of their last three, losers of 4 of 5, losers of 7 of 10. That's what the Dallas Cowboys are this year. And they started 3-0, and they padded their record a little bit with that. And, oh, here come the Cowboys. Like, why do people buy into the narrative of the Cowboys every year? They're the most fraudulent franchise out there in the NFL. They march around like they're America's team, and we're so great. 8-8. Every year. They've had 3 playoff wins since 1997. The allure around the Dallas Cowboys is a false narrative.
I tune in for the show of it. Yeah,
the Dallas Cowboys are fake news. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. The Dallas Cowboys are fake news. And Jerry Jones is the lead anchor on the fake news of what the Dallas Cowboys really are. Oh, they're the best. They're America's team. They're all of it. They're an 8-8 at best football team every single year. Since Jimmy Johnson has left the Dallas Cowboys, they have been a very, very average NFL team. And you've got this owner up there who has to make it so difficult for you to do your job as the head coach if you're Jason Garrett. And he needs to start looking in the mirror at himself, and instead of blaming coaches and players and it's everybody else's fault, you've been the GM and the owner over this watch now, Jerry, and your team is not doing well. And he's the only owner you consistently see on television in the NFL, and his teams are very marginal and very average. And that's why, you know, we should feel very blessed in Kansas City to have the Hunt family, to have the Glass family when they own the Royals, to just kind of be in the background and not get involved and not be there, not, you know, micromanaging the team and trying to, you know, do something every single minute. You can't operate that way. Imagine at your job, if your boss was just standing on top of you the entire 8 hours you were at your office desk, you couldn't get your work done. You couldn't do anything. You'd be afraid to make mistakes. And I think the Dallas Cowboys right now are in a situation where they've got a boss that is lording over them, and they're all playing tense. And they're not losing games because they don't have talent or because they don't have good coaching. They're losing games because they got a meddling owner who won't butt out and let guys do their jobs. You look at all these owners in sports, Daniel Snyder, Jerry Jones, like all of these guys that are like these big owners in sports, their teams aren't any good. George Steinbrenner didn't become a good owner until he was banned from baseball for a couple of years because he was trailing Dave Winfield with the feds. And so once he got out of the way and let his people do the operation, when he came back, he took a back seat and allowed his people to do their jobs. That's when the New York Yankees took off and became one of the great franchises. You cannot be a meddling owner in sports and expect to have success. And I don't want to hear about Mark Cuban. The dude's got one title. It's not like Mark Cuban's out there burning down the world with the Dallas Mavericks.
It's really fun to watch from the outside.
Great.
Those are awesome to watch from the outside.
But you don't want that as your team.
No,
not at all.
No. I mean, I watch it from the outside. I wanted Jerry Jones to escort the team out of the locker room and run onto the field last night, like fully take over.
Sure.
Let's make this the complete debacle.
Right.
But if that was my team, I'd be like, oh, geez, just stop. Like, lay off the pressure a little bit. Good grief.
I mean, compare them to the Green Bay Packers, one of the most consistent teams in the NFL. They don't even have an owner.
Well, sometimes that can be difficult, too. But, yeah. Jason Garrett's still the head coach of the Cowboys as of today. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make any sense to fire him now anyway.
No.
But they don't have anybody that can take over. They don't have anybody that can take
Who's
over.
Who's on that staff? I don't know. Scott Linehan, is he still down there?
No.
Throw Kellen Moore in the position.
Kellen Moore, yeah, like, hey, that's the new name. Yeah. Like, Kellen Moore called, like, one good play
or
in the last
Kellen
6 weeks.
Kellen Moore does not deserve that. So you're not making the switch there. You're just playing it out. But certainly interesting to follow from the outside of things. Coming up at 8, we'll talk with former NFL linebacker Joe Mays on how hard it is to play at Foxborough. But coming up, a member of the Hunt family, Lamar Hunt Jr., gives his impressions of the big matchup on Sunday. That's next.
Fesco in the morning.
Joe Mays coming up at 8. Your chance with Smokehouse Barbecue at 8:15 with another edition of Risk It for the Brisket, all straight ahead. Time now, though, to talk a little puck and a little Chiefs.
Lamar Hunt Jr., the owner of the Kansas City Mavericks, in studio with us. How you doing, sir? You good?
I'm doing great. I'm sorry about the weather change today.
I know. Got a little cold.
Shift.
Now it's hockey weather, though, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Hockey weather.
Yeah.
You guys got a lot coming up. You're bringing meals this week to the HCA hospitals and the ICUs. You're bringing games to Facebook. You're throwing teddy bears. Like, this is a big weekend for the Mavs, huh?
Well, it's what we're about, getting out in the community, giving back. It isn't the ICU, it's the NICU, neonatal intensive care. And our history there is a little bit. I had a grandson who was born, and he was spent 38 days at Overland Park Regional, one of the HCA facilities, and they did such a great job. And it's such a life-changing experience for those families, parents. You know, you're going in to have a baby, and all mm-hmm. of a sudden it's everything changes a little bit, and it's a little bit scary. So we're going out there today to serve some meals to those families that are – you know, sitting around, I don't know if they're biting their nails or praying or whatever, but they're, you know, they're worried about their little one, and that's where we're going to be.
So are you cooking, or are you just bringing the meals?
I'm a good server.
Uh-huh.
I'm even willing to clean up, but the cooking part, no, not good. Keep me away.
I want you in a chef's hat and an apron out there, like serving up made omelets and whatever they want, you know, made to order omelets and that kind of stuff. That's what we need to see you do.
That would be a travesty.
Always pick the cleanup crew. The cleanup crew is
the easiest.
Yeah,
throw it all away.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that wasn't supposed to be in the trash. Yeah. So you're doing that today. You got your game on Facebook Live tonight as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, the league has done a very good job of sort of getting these relationships out there with different entities, and this is one of those deals where with Facebook they get them out, get it live, and it's kind of a fun deal. It's against our nemesis, the Wichita Thunder.
Yeah, there it is. That's a big one, too. Maybe we'll see some fights on the ice tonight. Huh?
Maybe so. We play them enough that by about the sixth, seventh, eighth games, everybody's tired of each other.
Yeah. And then tomorrow you're having the teddy bear toss. And this has become a pretty cool thing that you guys have done over the years where everybody tosses those teddy bears onto the ice, too.
Well, I mean, it's sort of a classic deal for minor league hockey, or really for hockey in general. I mean, I think the one up in Hershey, PA, that did 40,000 or something teddy bears.
Wow.
It literally fills up the arena, you know, the ice. And,
yeah.
But, I mean, we'll get, I'm not 100% sure, but a couple of thousand teddy bears. And, again, it's a community thing to get them out. The distribution and everything like that is sort of a major task for the Mavericks staff, but they do a great job of sort of setting it up and getting it going.
You're hoping for 5,000 teddy bears.
Oh, are we? Okay.
5,000.
All right.
That's a pretty big number. What do you guys do with them, though? Like, people are throwing them on the ice. Tell the folks where ultimately, like, what happens with the teddy bears.
Well, I mean, it kind of gets down to working with children and children that might be in the hospital or different places like that, or at-risk kids and things like that. Just a little gesture from the community that, hey, we're thinking about you. It's a great time of year, and this is the time of year where we show people we care.
Yeah, it's true.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We've talked to you over the years about kind of the state of hockey in Kansas City, so if you were to give the state of hockey address heading into 2020.
Well, I think, you know, if you think about the history of hockey, this is the 11th year of the Mavericks, and the Blades made it to 11 years, so next year we're much healthier than that organization was or ended up being. I mean, I think they had a good run at times. So we're pretty excited about that we've got a good, stable business. We're still continue to work diligently behind the scenes to get more sheets of ice. We need more sheets of ice. These are not easy projects to pull off. There could be politics. There's the actual cost of the land and the facilities and perhaps a development around that those facilities. And we're still working in that direction. We recognize that Kansas City is really underserved by the number of sheets of ice. We have a lot of kids that want to play hockey, but when they find out the times of the practices and things like that, or sometimes it's a travel issue, we're just underserved for a market this size. So that's one of the states. The other state from the Mavericks, and I should have said this earlier, is you need to come out to Silverstein Ice Center's arena and see the new boards, the new video boards, the state of the art, everything that the city did for this arena.
They spent a lot of money in there. I was out there playing a couple of weeks ago, and then I fell on the ice and hurt my elbow, and Denny Matthews called me a wimp, and I went off the ice. And it was not good. When you get called a wimp by the Hall of Famer, it's like, you got to go, right?
Playing would be a little stretch.
I was out there on skates and fell and got hurt. Yeah. I'm like, I'm out. And Denny's like, you're a wimp. I'm like, thank you, Denny. But it was a lot of fun. But it's just to see the upgrades inside the arena, man, they spent a lot of money on that joint.
They did it right.
Yeah.
They did it right, and we've added the Wi-Fi, the LED lighting, the boards, everything, the equipment to run the boards. We got some new staff in there, you know, dealing with all those optics during the game. I mean, arguably, we're the best in minor league hockey, and I would throw that at either level, AA or AAA.
Yeah.
We're one of the best facilities, and it's intimate. It's a great place to sit. But the idea is really we need to grow the sport. The state of hockey is we need to grow it. We need to get more skaters, more kids on the ice. There's the demand. I hope I didn't cut anything off.
Not yet. I'm watching your hand there.
Yeah.
Be careful.
But we need to do that for the marketplace.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it does need to grow. Now, they're building a new one out in Overland Park, right? We're going to get that Blue Hawk or whatever is going to have ice out there.
Listen, you know what? There's competing entities. Yeah. We're one of those competing entities would be the right way to say it. And this has to be done right and well thought out. We think we bring the level of knowledge and expertise in this realm to do the one we're going to do, and we'll just have to help tell everybody to stay tuned and be patient, because it's no matter who it is, it's a difficult undertaking.
Yeah,
it's not like just soccer fields and all those that's expensive stuff. Well, hockey you know, rinks are very, very expensive undertakings.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Lamar Hunt Jr. with us here in studio. Big one for your football team, too, this weekend, going to play the New England Patriots, man. That's going to be a fun one on Sunday.
Well,
huh?
You know, we've proven in the past we can win there.
Yeah.
You know, we took it to them a few years ago. It was on a Thursday night.
Yeah, that opener,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want to, you know, get into too much of the details. I mean, if you want to say New England is down at this point, that might be a dangerous statement to make, because they seem to be an incredibly resilient.
Bob's been doing it all week, but yeah.
Keep going. Yeah, they're an incredibly resilient organization and team, and just when you think they're dead in the water, they rise up and nick you, so to speak.
Yeah.
They can come get you. But, you know, it's a great time of year for football, great time of year for the Chiefs. I mean, everybody's so excited. And I think really our best football is ahead of us. That's what I think. Yeah, I think we're going to peak at the right time. And there's a few teams that are going to be tough to play if we get that far down the road, but it's going to be exciting.
No doubt about it. We're doing like a, you know, a look back each week on the 60th anniversary of the franchise. And it's been kind of fun to talk to some of the old timers and whatnot. And clearly you've been around basically since day one. You were three when the team moved here to Kansas City, right?
Now five or six, maybe.
What is your earliest memory of the Chiefs as a franchise, being a kid whose dad owned it?
I can remember the AFL championship in 1962 vividly. I mean, I remember that. And it was actually one of my uncles, who's still alive, one of my dad's older brothers, Herbert, took us down separately, my sister and I. And I very much remember that game. There's a story, and I do remember it. I needed to go to the restroom after regulation time. Dad took me down. We came back, and we had kicked to the clock. And we had won the toss, but we were kicking to the clock, which means we were kicking into a headwind, I think. So however Abner Haynes called it, he called it. And I vividly remember the adults being very disconcerted by that choice by Abner. So that would be an early memory of the Texans. Vague memories of going to the Cotton Bowl, and very vague. And they were fairly empty.
Yeah.
And then as far as the Chiefs, I mean, first off, some of the memories were it was really a lot colder here coming up to games. But, you know, some of the early games, certainly you remember coming up to them. And then, of course, obviously, once we got sort of our feet on the ground up here and became a really competitive team, just getting to go to the first Super Bowl. That's a very clear memory.
What was that like, that first Super Bowl? Nothing like it is today, I can imagine.
Well, you know, and I didn't have a comparison, and I was an 8 or 9 year, maybe a 9-year-old kid, so I don't have a I think even my dad, when he passed 13 years ago, said, I could never have imagined this business being what it is today, and look at it now.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's hard for me. Since it was the first Super Bowl, there was no really measuring stick. I mean, I think there was a bit of overconfidence from the Packers, and we actually played them pretty well in the first half. And then Herb Adderley, who I think made the all-NFL 100-year team, I think he did, I don't know. I remember his interception of Lynn Dawson. That I do remember that vividly changing the game. It's like our wind went out of our sails.
So what's your favorite moment of the 60 years of the franchise?
Oh, my gosh. It's easy to say the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I would say beating the Oakland Raiders. Where's his hat?
Yeah.
There's a guy wandering around with a hat on with the Raiders here. But beating the Oakland Raiders in the AFL championship game to go to the Super Bowl. That was a remarkable game, and I can remember the pass that Lynn Dawson, I don't know if he threw it from near the end zone or in our own end zone, out, probably 40 yards out, to get out of trouble. I mean, we were pinned down. It was an amazing play, an amazing call at that time. You remember that play?
No, I was not born, no. Josh may have been around, but
I don't remember that.
The game was dicey at that point. We needed to put something together, and he makes a great throw down the side, right sideline.
Yeah.
It gets us out of trouble, and we go on and win the game maybe 13.
Well, let's hope that Patrick Mahomes decides to refresh our memories and gives us some more of these great moments.
Oh, sure. I mean, there's a lot of great memories. I mean, we've had some really great teams with Marty Schottenheimer and Dick Vermeil. I mean, the Dick Vermeil season, 2003, when we started, 9-0?
Yeah.
Maybe 9-0.
And that I vividly remember the detail of that.
Yeah. And it was so unexpected. It was. And then a run that Andy won a team we had a couple of years ago. We won 11 games in a row.
Yeah.
You had a sense maybe we were going to go to the Super Bowl then and just win it. Nobody was going to beat us.
Yeah.
So those are memories.
Those are good ones. Lots of good ones still to come here as well.
Yeah. Lamar Hunt Jr. went in with us in studio. And again, Mavericks hockey this weekend at home, and a couple of great opportunities to get out and watch some hockey this weekend.
Absolutely. You know what? This is a family-oriented event. You know, our hardcore fans, they show up no matter what. They're going to find their way into their seats and buy the tickets. But this is a great time for a family just to come out, experience the teddy bear toss and all the things that kind of go on with the shtick of what I'll call minor professional hockey.
Thanks for the time this morning. Good to see you again.
Thank you all. You're very kind and appreciate it.
Former Chiefs linebacker Joe Mays drops by for his weekly visit. How hard is it to play at Foxborough? We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.